Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer, back alongside my great friend and co-host, longtime college football analyst, Mr. Brent Beard. We're going to get into a lot of SEC first round college football playoff talk tonight, Brent, because you know the SEC has a college football high, five teams in the 12-team field, as we know now. Some fallout, some consternation, as you might expect, especially from one very self-important brand up in the upper Midwest. We'll talk about that. But you are also a Heisman Trophy voter, Brent. And I know with that deadline from a couple of days ago, your ballot is now safely in the hands of the Heisman Trust. I know you can't get specific about your pecking order where the four finalists are concerned. Although I think it's safe to say we both felt like those four guys made a lot of sense in terms of being invited to New York City.
Yeah, no doubt. The one thing I disagree with as far as being a Heisman voter is that you really can't discuss the award during the week that is coming up. I thought this for years, that it would give much publicity or more publicity to the award. The award is very much probably the number one award in college football. But I remember it, and I know you do too, when we could talk about this throughout the week. But regardless, we can't, so we move on. But Trav, I'm this probably hits you like it did me. Heisman finalist, and I think about how long we have done this and particularly done this together. What in the world would we have ever thought years ago that of the four Heisman finalists, one of them was an Indiana quarterback, another one was a Vanderbilt quarterback?
Yeah, that's 2025 pretty much summed up.
Yeah,
and Brent can't really outline how he voted again per Heisman Trust wishes. I'll tell you how I would have voted. I would have gone Diego 1, Fernando Mendoza 2, Jeremiah Love 3, Julian Sayin 4. That's my unofficial 4. Brent can't get into that. We will ask him, though, next week exactly how his ballot played out, but it's a great point about the quarterback position at places like Indiana and Vanderbilt in 2025. And, you know, it's been surreal this college football season in some ways because of those kind of programs and the success they've had. But even today, I mean, this Sharon Moore stuff, and we're an SEC show, but this stuff's breaking real time. And I'm not going to say to the extent of Some other situations we've seen in the past that have been historical in our nation's sort of viewpoint of things. But this is absolutely crazy what's happening. That's been this sort of elongated scandal after scandal after scandal involving the University of Michigan. They mixed in a national championship in the midst of all this, which really kind of seems all the more incredible given everything that's been going on around that program. But Brent, last check, I guess Sharon Moore now been detained.
Yes.
By the authorities up there in Michigan following his dismissal as Michigan head football coach with cause, as we're learning more and more about here again, as it's kind of second to second at this point.
Well, and you think about this and again, I'm sorry for all the people involved and how they have gotten hurt with this. And the problem is when these things happen, they just kind of explode on the scene. And this is very much what's going on now, that there are a lot of subplots to this, shall we say. One would be Sharon Moore given the opportunity of a lifetime to be able to coach Michigan football. And again, well, we know people are involved with this, and I'm certainly sorry for them, and I'm certainly hope and pray that they will be okay. But the subplots from what Travis and I do with this are frankly unbelievable. Kalen DeBoer's name mentioned, because once Sharon Moore is gone, you got to replace him with somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, an Alabama coach to go there, but that's one thing that is certainly being mentioned. You get the and this was, Trav, this is probably one of the jobs that people thought was settled, and the coach was kind of growing into it. They didn't have the season necessarily maybe they wanted, but the man alive, the plots and subplots of this, Trav, are almost endless, aren't they?
Yeah, and it also, on a much secondary level, impacts the SEC because you got Michigan, Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a bowl game. Mm-hmm. Again, that's much, much further down the road than what, again, and we don't know everything at this point. There's a process, obviously, that we're all afforded, and we'll see how it goes from here. But just kind of, again, just bizarre.
It really is.
How this is happening right now with the University of Michigan. Brent, never too early, though, to look ahead to that college football playoff. And I know you were glued to your television set, as were the rest of us on Sunday around midday, as the 12-team field was announced. Mm-hmm. Alabama, after being dismantled by the University of Georgia in Atlanta in the Southeastern Conference Championship game, we all had Georgia in regardless. Yes. We all had Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma in the field regardless. Given the way that game went down in Atlanta, though, how surprised or were you surprised at all to not only see Alabama make that field, but stay at 9 in the rankings?
I was to a degree because, look, that game was not close, frankly. And look, I don't know if mercy is a word I want to use, but I thought Kirby Smart and the offensive staff got, frankly, pretty conservative in the second half. But even with that, Alabama was unable to score. They go for fourth down deep in their territory. That did not work at all. But I think one thing that – or several things that were going on there was Alabama being a double-digit winner, having beaten Georgia before, having the middle of the season, defeating, four or five teams in a row that were basically ranked to that point. So, I mean, you never know with committees, but I thought the committee, they certainly put Alabama in. And I think the other thing that they did, and we'll get into this in a few minutes in more detail, but they kind of reversed things on Notre Dame and the Notre Dame Miami situation, right, Trav?
Yeah.
So it man, it's been a fascinating, intriguing last 3 or 4 days, to say the least, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. I don't know if we're going to miss Notre Dame in the bowl season as much as Notre Dame would like you to believe, or Notre Dame taking its ball and our guests just staying home, not going home, but just staying home impacts things. Now you got rumblings about potential issues with the head coach in terms of him being coveted by NFL teams in Marcus Freeman. So we'll see how that goes for the Irish in the coming days and weeks. But sure, you know, it was, to your point, I don't know, I'm like you, I don't think it was so much mercy. I just think that's the way Kirby Smart approaches football games.
Yeah.
I think Kirby Smart, like Nick Saban, who he learned from, once he has a game under control, he's not going to do anything that will, at least on his end, breathe some life back into his an opponent.
Yeah.
And I think Kirby, like Nick, especially at this point, Kirby has a really good feel, I think, for how those things are going. And, you know, now Lane Kiffin in that situation, he would try to put probably 50 on you.
Easily.
But, you know, Kirby is, and I think this benefited Alabama in terms of how ugly it could have been. Kirby's just fine with winning. Winning's enough for Kirby.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a particular point spread or, you know, those type of things. He just wants to get the W and get out of there. And it was start to finish. You know, Mike Bobo did a nice job for Georgia. Obviously, Glenn Schumann deserves a lot of credit for that defensive effort. Alabama went into the game beat up. We heard from Kalen DeBoer after the game about all the guys that he anticipated being back should the Crimson Tide make the college football playoff field. They did just that. And so now you have number 9 Alabama traveling to number 8 Oklahoma 1 week from Friday. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff on a Friday night. ABC, ESPN, Alabama installed as a 1.5 point favorite on the road. And I think people see that after the performance against Georgia and think, how can that be? Especially after Oklahoma had already gone to Tuscaloosa a few weeks back, three weeks back, and taken care of the Crimson Tide on its home field. You know, I think there is, you know, some things you have to take into account in terms of how that game went down.
Yeah.
Matchups are different. Every matchup is different. But what about you seeing that right there as we have it on our screen? Alabama's a 1.5 point favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back and forth, frankly. And obviously, Alabama virtually gave the game away in Tuscaloosa with interceptions and with fumbles. I'm not saying Oklahoma didn't play well and they didn't deserve to win, but I think that that was one of the issues there. One thing I do want to say about the playoffs, look, I love the playoffs, and that we should have had playoffs 20 to 30 years ago, frankly. But what I don't understand, Trav, is why we have to have so many repeat games.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama, Oklahoma is a repeat game. Tulane and Ole Miss is a repeat game. I mean, obviously, Miami and A&M is not, and that makes it even more intriguing. And look, I think we've also reached the point to where, at some point, the James Madisons and the Tulanes of the world really need to band together and have their own playoff. Tulane, James Madison, let's be honest, are not going to win that this current playoff, and that they're not in the, they don't have similar roster to these teams. So, but I know we've got what we've got, and we've got a couple of repeats, and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Tulane, James Madison playing. So there's still a lot of work to do. The playoff is an imperfect thing in a Trav, but we're excited for it. We're longing for it, but there's still some tweaks they need to make in this thing eventually.
Yeah, I tell you, TNT is probably not happy about Tulane and James Madison in this college football playoff, because that's the two games that TNT, True TV, HBO Max, all those sort of under that umbrella have on Saturday, December the 20th, going up against NFL football.
Yeah.
That same Saturday afternoon and Saturday night, you've got Ole Miss Tulane at 3:30 on December the 20th, and you got Oregon James Madison at 7:30 that evening. Now, early, you know, ABC ESPN with a pick of the litter on that opening weekend with Oklahoma, Alabama on Friday night, and then Texas A&M, Miami early on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And you're right. If you just flip a couple of these seeds by a spot, you have some different matchups. If you have maybe A&M is the 6 and Ole Miss is the 7, then you got, you know, you got Miami and Oxford. Which Miami and College Station, I've got no problem with that, trust me. But at least there's some difference there with Ole Miss and Tulane. And then you got, of course, this repeat matchup really, really close together, too. That's the other side of this. It would be nice if Oklahoma and Alabama had played in late September, early October. Then you get them back together in mid-December. But we just saw them in mid-November. Now we're going to see them a month later. So for Alabama, injuries for both these teams too, because I know we've heard from both coaches here in the last few days. I thought Kalen DeBoer was interesting because he sounded a lot more affirmative on injured players' availability after the Georgia game and the post game than he did the next day after the college football playoff reveal. I think of Josh Cuevas first and foremost. You know, I understand LC Overton, Kelby Collins, some of these guys that were out for Georgia, big, big, big guys on the defensive side of the ball. But then for Oklahoma, I mean, we're still not totally sure on a couple of their guys. I mean, we do know now that Gentry Williams, the outstanding corner, who I don't think played against Alabama the first time anyway, he's out with shoulder surgery. But R. Mason Thomas, the outstanding edge defender, who we last saw against Tennessee when he was returning a fumble for a touchdown, still some uncertainty about his status. So I guess both these teams, it's going to be kind of wait and see as we get through the end of the rest of this week and into game week next week.
Yeah, and I think there's been more on Ty Simpson. I saw a post that, and I really wasn't familiar with it, and that he's hurt more seriously than is letting on. And I didn't see it repeated anywhere else. For those of you looking at Twitter, I think that's one thing that I look for is if you've got a number of people who are saying the same thing, I think there's something to that. And look, I'm not calling anybody out, anything like that. I'm just saying people just need to be wary of what they see at this point. But the reality of it is, as you mentioned, Trav, for this Alabama team, them not playing this Saturday is a real plus for that football team.
Yeah, it would have been a huge plus, like for Oklahoma and Ole Miss and Texas A&M, if in retrospect they'd had last Saturday off, because in some ways it felt like they took last Saturday off in a conference championship situation. But certainly the play of Ty Simpson over the second half of the season, it's kind of felt like, you know, you got a little bit of fool's gold in the first half of the season. Not so much in terms of his individual performance, but how Alabama plays offense. Like, you can kind of run from not having much of a run game or any type of run game for a while, but eventually it catches up with you.
It does.
And
it does.
I don't know if we take into account enough that the health of your quarterback can very much be a byproduct of do you have that aspect of offensive football to help support that player? And that hasn't been the case with Ty Simpson for sure. So Jam Miller expected back at the running back position. That offensive line was beat up a little bit with Cam Dewberry not playing against Georgia in the SEC championship game. Apparently he's going to be better and ready to go. Yeah. But Josh Cuevas was big the first time around against Oklahoma. Yes. and he's not a running back, and you're not going to hand him the football. But if you're not going to run the football effectively, he's the kind of guy I've talked about before that you have to help you replace some yards that you don't get from your run game because of how they utilize him in the passing game.
Yeah, agree totally. And he has a foot injury, for people who forget. Hopefully he will be better as it goes along. But you know, the plus and the minus is here. The plus is the Alabama defense is, I frankly think, has played much better than people thought it would. Playing a lot of people, I think they've been effective. I mean, even in the Georgia game, the problem they had in the Georgia game, Georgia had several very short trips to the end zone, frankly, as far as marching down the field, that Alabama did not hold Georgia to having to go 90 yards in that respect. The lack of the running game has been telling the entire year. And Trav, with the passing game is good at times, but the problem is it's almost like they're playing in a 25-yard or 30-yard box.
Yeah.
To where they're not able to throw the ball down the field, or at least Ty doesn't have time to throw the ball down the field at this point. So the question is, those are things, can they overcome those next week?
Well, I think Oklahoma provided some of the blueprint. I think there were already some issues for Alabama offensively, yes, even going back to maybe Missouri and South Carolina. I thought the edge rushers for South Carolina were really problematic. I mean, yeah, Dylan Stewart had some shots on Ty Simpson that maybe are still being dealt with by Ty Simpson. And I know Tim here chiming in the show chat, and you're welcome to do the same if you would like, with a comment that during the game against Georgia, they were using muscle stem device on Ty Simpson's back. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that unless something is wrong. They were doing that in the Iron Bowl too.
Yeah,
so
they were.
He's obviously got something going on back there.
Yeah.
But you know, it's tough at this point in the season, Brent. There usually aren't fixes. You know, if you had answers, they'd already be in play. They'd be in place. So that's why it's hard for me when I look at this line and I see it at Alabama as a 1.5-point favorite to feel a lot of confidence. Now, Oklahoma has a very specific sort of recipe that they have to follow in games like this. And they were kind of fortunate to even beat LSU.
They were.
In the regular season finale. So, you know, it goes both ways with reactions to how teams perform. But Oklahoma did it with takeaways, short fields, and really good kicking game.
A
much better kicking game than Alabama had. So that's where it's got to start, if anything, for Alabama. Regardless, you have got to do a better job taking care of the football. You got to be better in the kicking game. Alabama against Georgia gives up a block punt, still not good enough in the kicking game. So those are two fundamental aspects of football that Alabama's got to get right before we can really get into anything much more granular than that and feel like they're going to get the job done. But again, you know, Oklahoma hasn't set the world on fire offensively either. Weather could be a part of this thing out in Norman on a Friday night. Anticipated to be pretty chilly. You don't know about wind. You don't know about elements. So everything's kind of pointing towards 8-9 days before this game. You know, it could be first to 21 wins this game. Now, turnovers can change that. Non-offensive touchdowns can change that, just like Oklahoma had the first time around against the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Crimson Tide fan, the thing you've got to be careful in a game like this is not to get behind as they did in the Georgia game, particularly with multiple scores with that too. Now look, at this point of the game, they're not going to invent a running game overnight. There are offensive line issues that have got to be dealt with. And I've heard it like you have, you know, is this offensive line too big and or are they too slow? But, you know, those are issues they will deal with. They're not going to be able to deal with them in a few days along that line. And, again, can they run the ball at least some? I mean, when you're -3 – rushing, and obviously sacks are involved with that against Georgia. That's a problem. But I mean, Trav, if they could get what, 75 to 125 yards rushing, that would be a real plus, would it not?
First time around against Oklahoma, Daniel Hill, the big back, 240 pounds, he had 60 rushing yards and two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
He had five catches for 37 yards. So he had roughly 20 touches for 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. If you get that from a running back in this game, if you're Kalen DeBoer, I think you take that
absolutely
right now. Hey, Brent, want to talk to you too, a little bit out in advance. Miami at number seven, Texas A&M, the Hurricanes get into the college football playoff, jump the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, courtesy of that head-to-head win. We wondered if the committee would ultimately reward it.
Really?
Waited until the last second, but it did go down that way. And so Carson back in the Southeastern Conference. It's the quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. A&M, a team here down the stretch that wasn't its dominant self from the first couple of months of the season, kind of bringing back some of those issues in the month of November that we remember from Kevin Sumlin and some of those teams. But what's your confidence level right now in the Aggies as they get ready to host a Miami team that, by all accounts, after what felt like at the time was a CFP ending, hopes ending loss to Louisville, they've righted that ship, and here they are.
I think they have garnered some respect. Frankly, I like this first round match. I'm kind of with you. I think this would be a better night game than it would be a noon game. Miami has won four straight over the last month by a pretty wide margin. Also, now they both played Notre Dame, which is kind of interesting, frankly, to look at that.
This is kind of the we kept Notre Dame out of the playoff bowl. Miami and Texas A&M, right?
I think you're right about that. I would agree. But look, A&M has done extremely well this year. I mean, I give them a lot of credit. Obviously, Texas took them apart. But above and beyond that, that's been an issue for that.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And A&M, the guys they need to get back are their running backs. Mm-hmm. If they can do that, I think that will make a big difference with this. Colin Klein, offensive coordinator, is kind of splitting jobs at this point. But look, this is significant for an A&M team that over the last, 5 to 10 years, Trav, has been 8-4-ish almost every year.
Yeah, this is a game that if you like lines of scrimmage, this should be a fun one. And sure, a couple of defenses that can really run and are aggressive and will get after you. And also some playmakers. You said it, running back depth at Texas A&M has been very much a strength. But, boy, KC Concepcion for Texas A&M. And then Malachi Toney, the freshman, is one of my favorite players already in college football. If you haven't seen this little guy sort of do his thing, big-time playmaker for the Miami offense. So, and pass rushers, too, for both teams. Edge guys that can really be problematic if you don't run the football well enough. Both these teams obviously going to come in here thinking they can. It could be a game, ironically enough or oddly enough, kind of like what Miami Notre Dame was. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a fist fight bloodletting between those two teams. And I could anticipate that being the case with Miami and Texas A&M on December the 20th.
Yeah, absolutely. But if A&M could win a playoff game, I think that would be humongous for them. They really have set the tone to be a better football team. I think they're much more balanced than they have been a while. Mike Elko deserves a lot of credit trying to get this team up this year and having a tremendous season.
I think what helps Texas A&M maybe in this game is I still don't trust Carson Beck in this type of situation. And he's not Arch Manning in terms of his legs. I thought Arch Manning's legs against Texas A&M were a real problem for the Aggies in the second half of that one. That pass rush for Texas A&M, I think they'll know where to find Carson Beck when it's really important. For Miami to be able to run the football at least semi-effectively, because I think if you put it totally in Carson Beck's hands against this defense on the road, could work heavily towards the Texas A&M Aggies. Marcel Reed, you know, has got to pick it up, you know, and his legs against that Miami pass rush and that aggressive Miami defense will be something to watch too. In the 3:30 game on Saturday, December the 20th. It is the Ole Miss Rebels, sans Lane Kiffin. Although, sounds like pretty much the offensive staff is back in town.
Yeah, that's right.
With, I guess, Lane's blessings, which is huge. I mean, because, you know, Pete Golding handles the defensive side. That's big news for Ole Miss to have Charlie Weiss Jr. and the rest of those guys back in Oxford. And this is one of those rematches that you talked about earlier with Tulane having suffered a 45-10 thumping at the hands of Ole Miss back in pretty much the first month of the season.
Yeah, in September. That's right. And again, this is a discussion on another day, but if this was Ole Miss and Miami or something of that nature, I think it would garner a lot more interest than it has. Obviously, Lane Kiffin leaving was, I don't know if I wouldn't say traumatic, but it certainly didn't help matters along that line. It's going to be very interesting, Trav, to see how does Pete Golden do in being the overall decision maker, or at least the final authority now. Look, Golden has been tremendous as a D coordinator. I would be very curious, and this is probably a good game to start for him, frankly, because Georgia is probably around the corner, or is, I believe, if they win. So that would be some fascination out of this. But look, there have been a couple of folks already who mentioned Ole Miss quarterback, running back, they had some stats better than the Heisman guys.
Trinidad Chambliss, speaking of the Ole Miss starting quarterback, that first matchup in September, that's when we were really starting to learn about Trinidad Chambliss. And even the sentiment then was, well, yeah, he's handling things right now because of an injury, but you know, he isn't the long-term solution. Well, he was that. And a whole lot more. And in that first matchup with Tulane, Trinidad Chambliss threw for 307 and 2 and ran for another 112. So Ole Miss with 241 rushing yards. Kewan Lacy really didn't have a huge game. Mm-hmm. Now, he kicked it in pretty much after this matchup the first time around, but he did have two touchdowns to go along with 68 rushing yards. And that's, again, to your point earlier, the matchups from a personnel perspective. Now look, you know, Tulane's done a nice job in the portal themselves. Jake Retzliff, the quarterback coming in from BYU the first time around, just 56 passing yards. He did run for 51 yards on 8 carries. Shaz Preston, one of those guys that has come in via the transfer portal, but still as we talked about earlier, it's even with the change of Lane Kiffin, it eventually comes down to guys, and you know, we'll see what happens after this game.
Yeah.
You know, we talk so much about coaches going to Baton Rouge. It'll be interesting to see if or how many Ole Miss players end up playing for LSU next year, especially if some waivers go a certain way.
Yeah.
But just from this far out, a week and a half away, Ole Miss -16.5 looks about right.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it'd be kudos to Lane if they're able to hang on here. But I can tell you this: that you mentioned TV a few minutes ago. You can be sure that TV would like for this game to go deep in the third quarter.
The two late games, and then James Madison at Oregon in prime time. You know, it is what we've got. I hope all the games are competitive.
They're all compelling. Yes.
You know, it's not so much about just hammering on the G5s. Hey, the bigger point is show everyone.
Yeah.
You know, that this is more than just Capri Suns and orange slices and maybe the avoidance of litigation for the NCAA or the college football playoff. So I'm all for it. I don't want to have to turn it over to the NFL.
Yeah,
you know, really. In the afternoon and at night on the 20th. So when you think about big picture, how this will all play out, we even have game times and dates for the quarterfinals. So your Texas A&M Miami winner will take on Ohio State on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. That will be the Cotton Bowl matchup. That will be 7:30 kickoff, and then the next day on January the 1st, you'll have Texas Tech against the winner of Oregon and James Madison in the Orange Bowl. Indiana will get that winner as the Big Ten champ. Indiana, how about that?
Yeah.
We'll get that winner of Oklahoma, Alabama on New Year's Day in the Rose Bowl. Of course, you know the Rose Bowl is going to keep that January 1, 4 o'clock slot. That's never going to change. And then the nightcap on New Year's Day, SEC champion Georgia will get the winner, potential rematch here.
Yeah.
Ole Miss Tulane winner in the Sugar Bowl. That could be a fun New Year's night.
Yeah, it really
could. Down in New Orleans, if you get the Rebels and the Dogs down there on Bourbon Street one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be. So we're looking at the repeat with Ole Miss and Georgia again, you know, obviously Tulane and you know, they will go back to being who they are. But you know, the Indiana thing fascinates me in a lot of ways, Travis. We both know Indiana, man alive, again, was such a doormat for so many years. Cignetti comes in and changes the attitude. I mean, I know he's in his 60s and he's blustery but he had changed the attitude, got in players, got a quarterback who's a Heisman Trophy candidate. It's really fascinating what they've done in 2 years, is it not?
Well, and you think about the transfer portal, man, and the impact it can have on football teams.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia coming in to Vanderbilt from New Mexico State, and Fernando Mendoza going from Cal to Indiana. It's pretty amazing how quickly fortunes can change. So when we talk about these SEC teams in the first round, give me sort of your expectation of – in order, the teams you anticipate in advancing. I guess it's got to start with Tulane in that home game against Ole Miss. But then, you know, Texas A&M figures to be seriously challenged by Miami in that game in College Station. And then we know there's going to be SEC representation moving on from Oklahoma, Alabama. But if I were going to rank them right now in terms of probability of these first round teams to move on to the quarterfinals, I'd go Ole Miss. Then I would probably go Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Or Oklahoma. I'll go Oklahoma. Then I'll go Texas A&M. And I think Alabama fourth. in that matchup with Oklahoma. I think right now of those teams in the first round, those four teams, I'd be most surprised by Alabama moving.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. Yeah. They can, I mean, again, if they can run the ball a little bit and they can keep pressure off Ty Simpson, which goes back to, and Trev, we both have kind of grown up with this. Can Alabama's offensive line keep the pressure off Ty Simpson and be able to block the Oklahoma front seven, which is one of the best in the country?
Yeah, they're going to get after you. And Ty Simpson talked about copycat blitzes. And so when you think about, you know, what Alabama has seen to date, I got to think a few of those are Brent Venables' greatest hits.
Yes.
Some of those blitzes, and also changing the picture on Ty. Georgia, Kirby and Glenn Schumann did a really good job of it last week, giving him something pre-snap, doing something different post-snap. Ty Simpson never truly comfortable. It looked more like early season FSU Ty Simpson here of late.
Right.
Where the anxiousness, the anxiety has been ramped up. You combine that with he's not feeling great physically and he doesn't have it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Enough around him to support him, to give him a crutch when he needs it. As I said earlier, it's a time of year where if you're searching for more than, say, one answer to a question.
Yes.
It's kind of like me back in my college days. I would wait to study until like late November.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trying to come up with all the answers to these final exams. It's tough. Yeah. Oh, it's tough when you find yourself in that situation. So a lot of this falls on Ryan Grubb, offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. How many answers can he come up with before a week from Friday night out there at Owen Field?
Well, and I think real quick, if you get Jim Miller back, Miller to me is not so much just running the ball. It's picking up the blitz. I think he's one of the guys who can do that. And to me, Quavis is such a problem in trying to cover him.
Yep.
I mean, Trav, the thing Quavis gives you is the defense is worried about the Alabama wide receivers running all over the field, and Quavis is 5 yards wide open a lot of times. So his coming back to me would be paramount to an Alabama win.
Yeah, and Quavis is one of those answers that I was talking about. He was an answer to the question, one of the questions in the first matchup. You know, when it looked like Ty Simpson was really spinning, you know, Ryan Grubb had an answer, and it was Quavis right there in the middle of the field, wide open for a touchdown.
Yes.
So, you know, that's where you miss him. Now, maybe a guy like Caleb Edwards, a true freshman, continues to improve and you're able to utilize him in a similar fashion. I thought even though the game was very much in hand for Georgia, you saw some things, if you're an Alabama fan, that were encouraging from Caleb Edwards, not just in terms of how he was targeted later in that game, but the confidence that he probably got from having some success against a defense like that and on a big stage like that. Game was over. I get that. But every positive rep for a young player in a big spot like Caleb Edwards finds himself in right now, or Marshall Pritchett or any of those guys, you'll take it if you're Ryan Grubb. Brent, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, let's run through a few things as far as the conference is concerned. If people may have missed some of this, I think that's interesting to say the least. Florida's I'm just going to give some bullet points, Trav, and then have you comment on them. Florida losing Rob Sale, the offensive line coach, Jabbar Julick. the running backs coach will not be retained. I thought one of the biggest pickups of Florida was Georgia Tech's Buster Faulkner.
Nice pickup.
His offensive coordinator was really impressed with that. One of the more amazing things that I've ever seen in covering the SEC was the old SEC team comes out. Trev, Georgia has, and particularly in the first team, Georgia, I'm laughing because this is almost ludicrous. Georgia, with all that talent, they've got one linebacker in C.J. Allen and the long snapper.
You know what, though? Kirby has said it all year. It's culture wins. A lot of these wins haven't been because of star players.
Yeah,
now, that doesn't mean they're not talented.
Yeah.
But in terms of when you submit candidates for all conference, it's usually got some statistical meat to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just underscores, I just think it reaffirms what you or I or anyone else has thought about Georgia all season long.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a star-studded team. Doesn't mean they're not talented.
Oh, yeah.
But intangibly, you know, they continue to get the job done at a standard at which Kirby has implemented for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me give you two more. We don't know about Lenore Sellers. There's a lot of – he's pretty noncommittal at this point, unless you've heard something different in the last day or two. He's got 2 years of college eligibility left. That will be interesting to see where he goes. Also, South Carolina. Kendall Briles is the new OC, replacing Mike Shula. The one that really got my attention was Penn State D coordinator Jim Knowles is in the process of getting his buyout from Penn State and expecting to land at Tennessee. So, Krusty, longtime D coordinator that obviously Tim Banks was fired, the former the Tennessee D coordinator. Trav, what kind of difference could Banks make for the Vols?
You know, I thought Tim Banks up until this year had done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I agree.
In Knoxville. Obviously, yeah, Tennessee not having the season it wanted, and they were. That was an area where, you know, they certainly had their deficiencies. You kind of anticipated it, though, with the guys that they lost on that side of the ball. So not a huge surprise there. I know some TCU people not upset at all with Kendall Briles.
Yeah.
Moving on. And maybe Kendall sensed that too. But we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that impacts Lenore Sellers. I think Lenore Sellers, based on what I saw this season, needs to play college football for as long as he can.
Yes.
He's got 2 years of eligibility left. He needs to play two more years, max out NIL, and also continue to develop. You know, that's not to say he can't eventually be a legitimate NFL sort of prospect at the quarterback position. But right now, I just think he is still very much in the developmental stages. Now, you say that, and you got guys like Anthony Richardson that go to the NFL, and they go top five.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is one team.
It is.
And we see how that's kind of worked out for AR. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that South Carolina dynamic works out.
And let me say one more thing. And they deserve incredible amount of credit. I'll be honest with you, and I get it to some degree, but yet I don't. Vanderbilt not making the playoff, and I give the coaching staff a lot of credit for not whining and complaining about that. But
Clark Lee with a clinic on
yes.
how to handle that.
Oh yeah. Hey, Trav, you think Notre Dame may learn something from that?
No, when you're that entitled,
yes,
and you know, in your own world,
yeah,
no, that won't penetrate the kingdom up there in South Bend. But yeah, give Clark Lee a lot of credit. I mean, had opportunities at Alabama, at Texas,
yes,
you know,
yes.
win one of those, you're in the college football playoff.
Didn't have enough.
Didn't have enough in the non-con. Virginia Tech didn't help them out. I mean, Florida State nearly killed Alabama, too. I mean, you know, you play those games in late August, early September, and if you lose them, or even if you win them like Vanderbilt did, you think, hey, this might have some carryover, this type of win.
Yeah.
And it really didn't.
And listen, Do you think people may realize now Clark Lea can coach football?
I think Clark Lea's a really good coach. I just got to see that program post Diego.
I understand.
Just post Diego. I got to see it post MK Young, Eli Towers. Now I understand it's already had a big impact on their recruiting at the quarterback position.
No question.
So maybe that's already happened with what they've been able to do, with the quarterback recruiting there.
Yeah, absolutely. But Trav, it's been always a lot of fun. The off the field stuff nearly engulfs the on the field stuff, and we've got several more weeks to go. So that will be a lot of fun to be able to see that. My Lord, the numbers for the Big Ten had an 18 rating. The SEC had a 16 rating.
Well, we're gonna get rid of these championship games.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yes, yeah, and the number of Trav, are you surprised at the number of teams who declined the bowl bid, and just basically just, I know Notre Dame was one of them, but Florida State, Auburn, UCF, Rutgers, Temple, and Kansas, and sometimes I understand teams just need to go home, but it will be interesting to see if this continues.
It will. A little bit surprised in terms of programs that were not going through coaching changes. Auburn, I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get that. I can get in your way as much as anything else. I know people talk about the extra practices. Well, if your next head coach isn't in there with his staff, what are you really doing?
Right.
Also, you can get a jump on some off-season injuries. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get guys cleaned up or whatever they need to have done or healing instead of running them back out there for another game. So some ways I get it, some ways I don't, and also I think once these teams, a lot of them were 5-7s, right?
Yes.
Once they finished their season a couple weeks ago now, they had shut it down in terms of that aspect of the football calendar year.
Yeah.
you just don't, hey guys, actually let's meet up at the practice at the facility on Monday morning and, get ready for the Independence Bowl or something.
And Trav, one last thing, the SEC schedule reveal is Thursday night for the 2026 season. I'm being facetious here, but I'm really not. Could it be a very few coaching interviews?
Yeah.
Because Trav, I think we both know these coaches aren't real happy, are they, about playing 9 SEC games?
No, it's going to be brutal. It's going to be great for us.
Yeah.
We're going to love it. But for those folks, it's not getting any easier. It's already hard. And it's not getting any easier. All right, Brent, anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think they'll do it, but I appreciate you greatly and our listeners. We have some good numbers with this, but we do it because we enjoy it. We appreciate the league and it's not even over yet, but man alive, what an incredible year it's been so far.
Yeah, we got Army Navy coming up this weekend. That's always a must watch situation. And then we got a bowl game Saturday, right? Don't we have Boise State, Washington somewhere in Phoenix or something? Crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Cranks up this weekend. So college football this weekend too. For Brent Beard, Travis Schreier, thanking you all for joining us live right here on Ryer on YouTube and also on X at Travis Schreier. For Brent, I'm Travis. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.